Daniels. May 17th, 1900. Typed. Dear Brother Daniels, we have just returned from attending a meeting at Parramatta, to which all the surrounding churches were invited. The appointment brought many together so that the house was full. Brethren Farnsworth and Colcord, Brother Hickox and wife, and W.C. White were present, and they had much of the Spirit of God. I spoke Sabbath and Sunday afternoons. Brother Farnsworth and his wife had come from Tasmania Friday. His help was much appreciated. He left Currumbong last night for Queensland. I had some conversation with him before he went. On our way home from Summer Hill, we called upon Sister Wessels. We think she is in just the best place she could have. There is plenty of outdoor room, and the boy has something to divert his attention and a place in which to romp around. Sister Wessels and her son and her mother came home with us for a visit, and they will stay as long as I can prevail upon them to remain. I want them to visit around and see the people here. Sister Wessels and Sister Anthony are acquainted with a number here and will enjoy the society of old American friends. We returned to Currumbong last evening and found quite a mail from America. Some news is pleasant, and some not so pleasant. Dr. Kellogg is pursuing a course very unfavorable to himself and is making it very hard for his brethren. I wish I could give you some idea of the situation. I will try to copy some things from Brother Irwin's letter, and also from a letter from Brother Santee of Union College. This brother is deeply afflicted, as well as all in the college, by the doctor's course of action. This afternoon, there comes a telegram from Brother Irwin, I think, saying, "Sister White, come on August boat." What has taken place since their letters were mailed, I cannot conjecture. They had the news that we thought it possible we should be at the General Conference. So they knew we thought of coming. The very last part of Brother Irwin's letter contained the statement that the building for the manufacture of health foods, owned and run by Dr. Kellogg and his brother, was consumed by fire and the machinery was spoiled. This is all that was stated. I have been in uncertainty in reference to going to America. I feel very much burdened over the thought. I dread everything like confusion. I have stood on the battlefield at Battle Creek. I tremble at the thought of repeating the experience. We know they need help in America, but is it my duty to take this long journey? I cannot do this without further evidence. 3 weeks ago, we held a 2 days meeting in Hamilton. About 30 came from Maitland and 25 from Currumbong. We had an excellent meeting. Brother Miller had seemed to be losing faith and was trying to make changes in the arrangements for loaning to the church. The matter looked very forbidding, and we felt quite discouraged in regard to this case. Then this meeting was appointed. Brethren Colcord, Robinson, Hickox, and W.C. White were engaged in the meeting. As the result of much writing and many burdens, I was suffering from great exhaustion. I prayed the Lord for strength, and He gave me strength. I did not withhold the plain and decided truth in reference to the requirements of God. I presented the Word of God in regard to His requirements, and showed that a half-and-half service would become no service at all. It was a pretension of godliness which God could not accept or appreciate. Such service does not produce the fruits of righteousness in the members of the church. It does not constitute them laborers together with God. All half-hearted service is an offense to God. In such service, men do not correctly represent the work of truth upon the human heart. They do not reveal the transforming power of its sanctifying influence. The blessings of grace, which for Christ's sake are bestowed by God upon all who believe, are the fruits of His eternal purpose, not only to save their own souls, but to reveal to the universe the perfection of Christ's character, which could not otherwise be made known. The power of the Lord was upon me, and the words spoken had an influence. Through the feeble instrument, God was speaking to those who needed to have a decided work done for them. Good testimonies were borne by those who had come to the meeting. Good confessions were made.
Two were keeping their first Sabbath. One man from Maitland, a building contractor, said that he did not attend the camp meeting in Maitland, but he had been searching the scriptures, and he found therein that the seventh day is the Bible Sabbath, and that the first day is not the Sabbath of the Lord. He said that he had long been looking for a people who believed the word of God, and I am, he said, satisfied that I have found them. I will unite my interest with them. His face was lighted up, and his words were spoken with assurance. He is about 26 years old. He lives near Brother Scobie, who has not fully taken his stand. Another man stated that he had been laboring as a missionary among the Maoris. He had been searching his Bible and became convinced that Sunday was not the Sabbath. He inquired if there were any in Maitland keeping the seventh day. He was sent to one who claimed to be an Israelite and kept 1 hour of the Sabbath. But he said, "If I keep 1 hour holy time, I should keep the whole day." He inquired if they knew of any people keeping the Sabbath, and they sent him to Brother Colcord, who helped him to understand the Word of God. "I take my stand," he said, "upon the Sabbath. I wish to be instructed in regard to the truth, that I may go back to the Maoris." This man has come to the school in Kurenbong to study the scriptures and become better prepared to labor. Sunday afternoon, the Lord gave me a large blessing. His power was given me to bear a more decided testimony. We knew that the Spirit of the Lord was moving upon the people. I have since received letters stating that a man who has long been convicted, but too fearful to step out in full faith, has now taken his position. His wife has hitherto kept him back. The last Sabbath was the first he has kept. This man, it is thought, can unite with the workers in helping others to the truth. The Lord gave us special victories in that meeting at Hamilton. The next Sabbath, an appointment was made for me to speak at Mount Vincent. W.C. White, Sarah, and I went with our horses and carriage to Maitland, 27 miles. On Sabbath afternoon, I spoke in the little hall connected with the mission house. The room was well filled, and the Lord, by His Spirit, helped me to speak the word. W.C. White spoke in the forenoon. Mr. Scobie was present, and he listened with great interest. If he takes his stand, others of the family connection will, we think, be encouraged to do the same. The Scobie family connection is large. Sunday morning, we rode 14 miles to Mount Vincent, and I spoke in the Good Templars' Hall. The room was full, and we had an excellent meeting. A goodly number of students from Kurenbong School were present and helped with the singing. This was the first time I have spoken in that place. In Maitland, the interest remains good. The ministers are so full of madness that their opposition is work against them and in our favor. A brother Daniels and his wife have taken their stand, also another man and his wife. Others are deciding. The work moves forward slowly. A large building, formerly used as an ironmonger's establishment, has been offered free for meetings, on condition that we give the first three collections to certain benevolent purposes and pay the taxes. We shall take it for a while. Then we can decide if it is best to retain it until we can obtain means for building a house of worship. At the Parramatta meeting, money was raised to purchase that large tent first pitched in Hamilton. It can be bought at a reduced price. Another camp meeting will be held in Maitland as early as possible. There are more yet to embrace the truth.
The ministers have so confused the minds of the people that they know not what to believe. But the work has been steadily going on in house-to-house labor. As many as 35, they think, are now convinced. And if the truth, in a straightforward, clear, connected, forcible manner can be presented, more will take their stand, in East Maitland as well as in West Maitland. We would be pleased to continue labor in this large field. We are loath to leave it, and we cannot go to America without more distinct evidence. I am waiting for light. I see a great work to be done in Newcastle and Singleton and many places of the suburbs of East and West Maitland. I expect that a church building will soon be in process of erection in either East or West Maitland. If we go to America, it will be for only 1 year. Then we must return to the work. I shall rent my home and leave everything with the expectation of returning. I am so glad that these 2 days' meetings are being held. One is to be held at Maitland in about 2 weeks. I am more and more convinced that a large work is to be done right in our very borders in Kurrenbong. We are trying to stir up the people to action. Our school students must make this missionary work a part of their education. We have not done one half of what we should have done in this line. God is able to open the way before us. We feel that the work has been but just entered upon, and that the Lord has many people to be saved right around us. This will strengthen the outposts. We can but regret that you and Brother John Wessels were called to Africa just now. The building for the sanitarium should now be going up. We have no time to delay. We shall certainly begin to advance as soon as Brother John will send the plan. We are securing some donations and some loans from America and from other sources. £100 was donated by Brother Murfitt of Tasmania, and we think we can secure loans from him, if not more money without interest, to use in building. The work must advance. Truth will bear away the victory.